Part 2. Some Terrible Discoveries. Now, everybody believed Cornelius. They began to ask him lots of questions. Cornelius smiled. He was very happy with his first success. At that moment, when everybody was asking Cornelius questions, Tobin Maury walked into the room. None of the guests said a word. They felt embarrassed in front of a talking cat. Finally, the hostess, Lady Blemley, said nervously,
"Would you like some milk, Tobin Maury?"
"Yes, I'm a little thirsty,"
said the cat indifferently. Everyone in the room was shocked, and Lady Blemley's hand shook as she poured Tobin Maury some milk.
"I'm sorry, but I've spilt most of the milk on the carpet,"
apologised Lady Blemley.
"I don't care,"
responded Tobin Maury.
"It's not my carpet."
The room was silent for another minute. Then Miss Resker asked Tobin Maury if it was difficult to learn to speak. The cat looked at Miss Resker for a minute. Then he looked out the window. It was obvious that he considered Miss Resker's question ridiculous.
"What do you think of human intelligence?"
asked Mavis Pennington stupidly.
"Human intelligence in general? Or do you want to know about some particular person?"
asked Tobin Maury.
My intelligence. What do you think of of my intelligence?"
asked Mavis, with a nervous laugh.
"Well, you put me in an embarrassing position,"
said Tobin Maury. But he did not look embarrassed.
"Anyway, I'll answer you. When Lady Blemley told Sir Wilfrid that she wanted to invite you to this party, he said, 'Mavis Pellington is the stupidest woman in the world. Why are you inviting her?' Lady Blemley replied, 'Sir Wilfrid, I am inviting her because she is stupid. I have this old car that I want to sell, and Mavis Pellington is the only person stupid enough to buy it.'"
Lady Blemley, of course, said that Tobin Maury was a liar. But Mavis Pennington did not believe her. That morning, she had bought Lady Blemley's old car. Major Barfield tried to change the subject. He said,
"Tobin Maury, do you want to tell us about your girlfriend, the striped cat that lives near the stable?"
Everyone immediately understood that he had made a terrible mistake.
"It's not polite to ask people about their love affairs,"
replied Tobin Maury coldly.
"Do you want me to talk about what I have seen during this party? I'm sure that you wouldn't like that, would you?"
There was a moment of general panic. Almost all the guests had some private love affair. They all thought, if Tobin Maury says what he has seen, I'll be in trouble. Tobin Maury's dinner was in 2 hours, but Lady Blemley said,
"Tobin Maury, why don't you ask the cook if your dinner is ready?"
"Thanks,"
responded Tobin Maury,
"but I have just had tea. I don't want to die of indigestion."
"Cats have 9 lives, Tobin Maury,"
said Sir Wilfrid, trying to be funny.
"Possibly,"
was the answer.
"But only 1 liver.
Lady Blemley, are you going to permit this cat to talk about us with the servants?"
said Mrs. Cornett, another guest. The panic was general. Everyone remembered that Tobin Maury often walked outside their windows. It was obvious that he had seen and heard everything that happened in their bedrooms. Some guests became white with fear. Others, like Odo Finsbury, who was studying to be a minister of the church, ran out of the room. All the guests thought, If Tobermory tells everything he knows, there will be terrible scandals. Finally, Agnes Resker said dramatically,
"Why did I come to this house party?"
Tobermory had the answer.
"I know why you came. Yesterday you said to Mrs. Cornett that Lady Blemley's parties were very boring, but the food was delicious. You told her that you came for the good food. In fact, you said that everyone came for the food."
"That is not true. You are a liar. Mrs. Cornett, tell the truth. Did I say that? Tell the..."
"Then Mrs. Cornett told Bertie von Tarn what you said,"
continued Tobermory,
"and he said that Agnes Resker went anywhere she could get free food, and then..."
Fortunately for the guests, at that moment, Tobermory stopped his story. He had seen his enemy, a big yellow tomcat. He jumped out the window and ran after it. All the guests looked at Cornelius angrily. He had caused all this trouble. "Do you think Tobermory will teach other cats to talk?" they asked Cornelius.
"Yes, do you think so?"
"I don't know."
"It's possible," replied Cornelius. "Maybe he has taught his girlfriend, the cat that lives in the stables. But I don't think he has taught any other cats. At least, not yet."
"Lady Blemley,"
said Mrs. Cornett,
"I know that you and your husband like Tobermory very much, but he and his friend, the stable cat, must be killed."
"I have not enjoyed this last half hour either,"
said Lady Blemley.
"Yes, it is true that my husband and I like Tobermory very much. Well, we liked him before he learnt to talk and tell our secrets. Anyway, I agree that he must be killed as soon as possible."
"We can put poison in his food,"
said Sir Wilfrid,
"and I will go and drown the stable cat." "What about my great discovery?"
Cornelius said with great emotion.
"I have worked for many years."
"Why don't you go to the zoo?"
said Mrs. Cornett.
"And teach the elephants to talk. Elephants are very intelligent animals, but they do not hide under your chair, and they do not sit outside your bedroom window."
Cornelius tried to persuade them not to kill Tobermory and destroy all his scientific work. No one listened to him. In fact, many of the guests thought that poison should be put in Cornelius's food. That night, at dinner, all the guests were quiet. Lady Blemley tried to create conversation, but no one talked. They were all watching Tobermory's bowl. Inside the bowl was some delicious meat and poison. But Tobermory still did not come back. After dinner, still no Tobermory. The servants came and announced that the window of the kitchen was open as usual for Tobermory. 9 o'clock? No Tobermory. 10 o'clock? No Tobermory. At 11 o'clock, one of the guests got up to go to bed. Before leaving the room, he said,
"Tobermory probably went to the local newspaper to tell everything he has seen and heard during this house party. Good night."
It was not a good night. The next morning, all the guests asked the servants the same question, and the servants gave the guests the same answer.
"No, Tobermory has not returned."
Breakfast was even more depressing than dinner the night before. But before it was over, the gardener walked into the room with Tobermory's dead body.
"His enemy, the big tomcat, killed him," explained the gardener.
Tobermory was Cornelius Appin's first and only successful student. A few weeks later, Lady Blemley read in the newspaper that an elephant in the Dresden Zoological Garden had killed an Englishman. The newspaper said that the elephant was usually gentle and calm, but that the Englishman had apparently provoked it. The name of the Englishman was C. Appin. As one of Lady Blemley's guests said,
"If he was trying to teach that elephant German irregular verbs. He deserved to die.